So he sent up his prayers. Then he arranged with Eliezer, whose name was Damasik, to make ready the little son of death for the journey, and to provide him in all ways like a mother. For at the next dawning, the brothers should set out, in order not to miss the caravan from Gaza. And hearing this, Benoni's eager cup overflowed with joy, seeing that at last he should be released out of his symbolic durance and go to see the world. He did not jump for joy before Jacob and the brothers, nor kick his heels together, because he was not 17, as Joseph had been, but nearly 30, and he would not wound that soft, pathetic heart with showing his gladness. Besides, his darkened existence as a mother-slayer did not suit with much jumping for joy, and he might not fall out of his role. But before his wives and children, he plumed himself not a little over his freedom of action, and the fact that he was going down to Mizraim to set Simeon free, he and he alone having such power over the Lord of the land. They were able to shorten their preparations because they could supply in Gaza all their wants for the trip through the desert. For the present, their packs chiefly consisted of presents for Simeon's jailer, the Egyptian keeper of the market, which young Eliezer had taken out of the stores, the aromatic distillations, the grape syrup, the gums and myrrh, the nuts and fruit. A single donkey was reserved for these gifts, for which the country was renowned. In the light of early dawn, the brothers set forth on their second journey, in the same strength as before, one less and one more. The families and servants stood about, and within the group, the 10 with their beasts on halters. But at the heart of it stood Jacob, and held all that he had left of the beloved of his youth. That was what the audience came for, to see how Jacob took leave of his dearest possession, and to be edified by his pangs and his stately expression of them. Long he held his youngest to him, hung round him the phylactery from his own neck, and murmured at his cheek with eyes upraised. But the brothers bent theirs on the ground with bitter, forbearing smiles. "Judah, it was you," he said at last. All of them heard him. "You have given your bond for this child, that I may require him at your hand. But now hearken. You are released from your bond. For can a man give his bond for God? Not upon you will I build my trust, for what could you avail against God's anger? I will build upon him alone, who is the rock and the shepherd, that he grant me back this pledge that I have entrusted to him in good faith. Hear, all of you, he is no monster who mocks at human hearts and treads them like a savage in the dust. He is a great God, purified and enlightened, a God of the bond and of good faith. If any man is to vouch for him, I need you not, my lion, for I myself will vouch for his faith, and he will not so injure himself as to make his guarantee a mock. Go, he said, and put Benjamin from him. Go in the name of God the true and the merciful. But all the same, take care of him," he added in a breaking voice, and turned away to his dwelling. The Silver Cup. And so, in due course, Joseph the Provider came from his office to his house, and the news was in his heart that the 10 travelers from Canaan had passed the frontier. My Sakme took it in at once, and asked, "Well, Adon, so we are for it? The waiting time is over?" "We are," answered Joseph, "and it is. It has turned out as it ought to. They have come. The third day from today, they should be here. With the little one," said he. "With the little one. This God story of ours made a pause for a while, and we had to wait. But time does not stand still, and it only seems to have no burden, and the shadow of the sun moves slowly on. One must steadfastly trust himself to time, and trouble about it hardly at all. The Ishmaelites taught me that, with whom I traveled, for it continues to ripen and brings everything in its train." So now, said Mysakme, there is much to think of, and the course of the plot has to be carefully thought out. Shall I make suggestions? Ah, my, as though I had not long ago thought out and composed everything, and had in my composing spared any care. It will run off as though it were already written down, and was being played according to the script. There are no surprises, only the thrill of seeing the familiar of long ago become the present. And I am not nearly so excited this time, either. I only feel solemn as we go on to the next scene. At most, my heart gives a jump at the thought of the "it is I." I mean, it jumps on their account. You would better have a draft ready for them. It shall be done, Adon. But even though you want no advice, I will just give you some. Take care for the little one. He is not merely half of your blood. He is your blood brother. And besides, as I know you, you will not be able to leave things alone. You will put him on the scent. The youngest of the family is always the cleverest. He might easily get ahead of your "it is I" by saying "it is you," and spoil your whole plan.
Well, and what then, my? I shouldn't mind much. There would be a great laugh, as when children build a sandcastle and knock it down again and shout for joy. But I don't think so.
A little chap like that, and tells Pharaoh's friend and Vice Horace, the great man of business, right to his face, "Pooh, you are nobody but my brother Joseph?" That would be impertinent. No, the role of saying who I am will fall to me. Will you receive them again in the hall of audience? No, this time it shall be here. I will have luncheon with them. They shall eat with us. Slay and provide for 11 more guests than you had down the third day from today. Who are invited for that day? Some city dignitaries, said Mysakme, consulting his memorandum. Their worships, Ptah Hotpe, reader from the house of Ptah, the god's champion, Colonel Entef Oker, of the god's household troops, the chief surveyor and boundary inspector, Panesha, who has a tomb where the Lord lies, and from the main commissariat, a couple of scribes.
Good. They will find it strange to sit down with the foreigners.
Strange indeed, I am afraid, Adon. There are difficulties about the food laws and customs, I must warn you, and certain prohibitions. To some it may seem an offense to eat with the Ibrim.
Go along with you, Mai. You talk like Dudu, a dwarf I once knew, who worshipped all the old saws. Trying to teach me my Egyptians? As though they still had a horror of such things?
They would have to have a horror of eating with me. Everybody knows I was not brought up on Nile water. Here is Pharaoh's ring. Be as myself. That will silence all objections. Whoever I eat with must obey that injunction at table, too. And then there is Pharaoh's teaching, which everybody professes who wants to stand well at court, that all men are the beloved children of his father. But of course you can serve us separately, to preserve the forms. The Egyptians by themselves, the brothers by themselves, and me by myself. But you must seat my brothers together according to age. Big Reuben first, and Benoni last. Be careful to make no mistake. I will tell you the order again, and you can write it down.
Very well, Adon, but it is a risk. How do you come to know their ages so well without their being surprised at it?
And you must put my cup at my place, my silver cup that I look into.
Yes, your cup. Will you tell them their ages out of it?
I could use it for that, too.
I wish, Adon, I could use it for prophesying, too. I wish I could read, the way gold pieces and gems look in clear water, what you planned for the story, and how you build it up to the point where you make yourself known. If I do not know, I fear I shall be able to serve you but poorly. But I must serve you and be useful to you in order not merely to stand about in this story into which you have so kindly taken me.
That you certainly shall not. It would not be right. In the first place, you are to put the cup at my place, out of which I sometimes read, just for fun.
The cup. Very good, the cup, said Maisakme, widening his eyes as though in an effort to remember. They bring you Benjamin, and you see your little brother again among his brothers. And when you have eaten with them and filled their sacks a second time, they will take the youngest born away with them again and go home to your father, and there you will be.
Look again into the cup, Mai. See how it looks in the water. They go away again, of course, but perhaps they have forgotten something, so they have to come back again.
The captain shook his head. Or they have taken something with them, and we miss it, and go after them on account of it, and fetch them back again.
Maisakme looked at him round-eyed, his brows drawn up.
Slowly his small mouth widened in a smile. When a man has a little mouth, no matter how square and strongly he may be built, when he smiles, it is like a woman smiling. Thus Maisakme smiled, and despite his growth of black beard, his smile was sweet and almost feminine. He must have been pleased with what he read in the cup, for he nodded to Joseph with a twinkle in his eye, and Joseph nodded too. He lifted his hand and clapped his steward on the back, and Maisakme, despite the fact that Joseph had once been a convict in his prison, lifted his hand too and patted the other's shoulder. Thus they stood, nodding and clapping. It was clear that both fully understood how the story was to run off.